Welcome to the Influential Women Podcast, the podcast where we chat to women who uplift us. And whilst we are in isolation at the moment, music may indeed help our stress levels. This is Nikki Bannerman, and my influential woman today is Cece Sammy. Hello and welcome, Cece.
Hello.
Hello, lovely to talk to you. Cece Sammy is a leading vocal and performance coach who works from London to Los Angeles. She's known for her TV appearances on music and entertainment shows as a vocal coach, a TV judge, advisor, talent scouter, and motivational speaker. Fabulous. So, Cece, you're usually right in the heart of TV on our screens all over the world with coaching. How's it going now? Are you working at home from Zoom? I can see your lovely piano there, and I know you're homeschooling. It's all very happening, isn't it? Where are you?
I'm going through so much change, you know, as you are. You know, I'm accustomed to change, but in a very different way. Like you said, I could be doing a TV show, or it could be that I'm in a recording studio with a client, or I could be on a plane as well with the client as we're moving, you know, and getting them all ready. Or I could be doing the motivational side of things, where I'm actually not teaching them how to sing or to warm up their voices, but it's really getting them ready with the mindset of what they're going through. And the situation that we're in now is something that is very new to me, because whilst I like change, it's a change that I have never experienced.
Oh, it's unreal, isn't it? So many of us, you know, we're creatures that do adapt eventually, don't we, to change.
I say that to all my clients. I say, listen, always be ready for change, because our lives are built that way. And I think it's a matter of us appreciating the stillness as well as the madness of moving around.
It's so true. And women are used to change. You know, we have to with children, don't we? We have to change constantly. So, and we can still work from home. And you are the industry leading vocal and performance coach and big name in the music industry. You've been on ITV, Channel 4, Sky Sports, at the Commonwealth Games, been to Buckingham Palace, the chair of the Eurovision, BBC Comic Relief, the Brit Awards, the Voting Academy, the Grammys. I mean, you've had an incredible time, fabulous names. And you sing amazingly yourself. I mean, who's your favourite that you've coached? Are you allowed to even say that? I know you've done X Factor.
Many people ask me this question, and I genuinely could not say, because there are so many different genres that I love, and I've worked with clients whereby I might love the sound of their voice, whereas for another one, I adore their performance. Really, it depends. So I don't really have any favourites. I love everyone, but for different reasons.
Oh, very, very tactful as well. I know you did Leona Lewis, and her transformation was phenomenal, wasn't it?
She was such a shy young girl when I met her. And it's wonderful to see how she's progressed. And, you know, I say to people all the time, we are all the same. We just learn how to manage our emotions and how we forward in what we're doing. We have the choice in life. You know, when I was a little girl, I was quite shy. And everyone that knows me now, they know me as that talkative girl, woman. They're like, oh my gosh, you're constantly talking. I'm like, yes, but guess what? And when I tell them I was this little girl, I would sit down in a corner at school, not really knowing what to say to them. And I was drawn to the piano because I could sort of get myself lost just playing it, because I genuinely did not know what to say to other people.
Oh, that was your outlet. But you've went to the London College of Music, didn't you? And you're a trained classical pianist, and I can see a beautiful grand piano behind you. And in fact, I love, on all those music shows on TV, I love, as we all do, looking at the people's beautiful homes from through the eyes of the screen there, which unfortunately people can't do on this podcast. But no, you've got a beautiful piano there.
But it's a wonderful thing that I would love to say to everyone, even if you can't see. This is one of the techniques I use with people, particularly at the moment, no matter where you are. If you're in an apartment, if you are in a house, if you've got children running around, making lots of noise, or you are there on your own, sit back, close your eyes, put some music on, and imagine yourself in what you would term as a dreamland. In doing it, it helps all of us, whether we're singers, whether we are sweepers, no matter what we do, we all have the same thing in common. It's That's about true. Stilling ourselves and feeling okay.
And our emotion. And I'm going to come on to ask you about some of that shortly with your amazing work. But with your voice coaching, you've even worked with acting on films with the incredible Idris Elba and Gurinder Chadha's Blinded by the Light and people like that as well, haven't you?
Yes. And I love working working with actors. In fact, it's quite different because actors, funnily enough, are very disciplined. I would say in some ways more so than singers, because whereas with singers, you have to go through the life coaching side and talking them through why they can do it because they're exposed. Whereas an actor is another character. Very easy for them to sit down and for a prolonged period of time where they're thinking of the emotion that they've got to embrace upon themselves and changing the tone of the voice or the accent of the voice. It's very, very different. It's a different skill.
Of course. Gosh, you're a real specialist. And you're also a singer yourself. We've seen you on YouTube there. I was watching this morning. And you toured with Diana Ross. I mean, she is fantastic, isn't she?
Do you know, it was my first job in the industry. And I have to tell you the story with this. Before I met her, I was obsessed with classical music. There was a man called Liberace who played classical music to the masses. He got dressed up. He was known for having his dogs that he loved, being extravagant on that stage in America. And I was a very little girl. And I remember sitting down and watching it. And when I saw it, I said to my mother, that's what I want to do for music and be massive with what I do. But the hilarious thing is I happened to be, it was at a church where I was playing the piano and singing, and two people, a husband and wife, who were actually our vocal coaches, Carrie and David Grant, they happened to see me and said, we have an audition, we'd like you to come. I didn't know them at the time. They said, we'd like you to come and audition for something, in effect. And it was my mother who encouraged me, because I said to my mother, I'm not going to go for this audition because this is to do with pop music. And I had no idea that it was Diana Ross, by the way, at that time. And I said to my mother, I don't want to do this. I want to be in classical. And it was my mother who encouraged me.
She remembered the dream of the little girl that wanted to. And that must have been amazing.
I went for the audition to see if I could be one of the singers, backing singers in the background. And I got it. Now, when I met her, she walked into that room. She had no makeup. It was a rehearsal.
Really?
But she looked like a queen. The hair was flowing. Walking was just grand. I loved every minute of it, to look at me and to come and to speak to me. And she didn't have to. I was 17. Everyone else was in their 30s at that time. I mean, I'm now in my 40s, but...
Gosh, that would have been amazing. And the powerful healing of music. I mean, I love watching the concerts, you know, that we talked about, the Lady Gaga one, Gary Barlow, they're all doing it. Gareth Malone, Andrew Lloyd Webber, very healing. But you can help us with our breathing and stress levels at this time, can't you? You've said online in some of your workshops, it raises our happy hormones and endorphins. So is there anything we can sing with music now or do with our breathing that you can just sort of give us a little bit of a tip?
Well, the first tip, I have a few tips for you and for everyone, actually. The first thing I would say is find a song that you really, really love. Just play the song. And as you're playing the song, be aware of your breathing in and your breathing out. Now, as you're breathing in and out, what happens is you're slowing it down. You're being much more in control of what is happening. A lot of us, we're on the run, you know, there's that run, and we don't even realize that we're running from our feelings, running from our emotions. But if we take a point to play a song, and it could be any song, like I said, the key is it must be a song that means something to you. Let's try it now. So take a breath in through the nose, and now breathe out and just blow through your mouth. And then do it again, breathing in through the nose and breathing out through the mouth. Now, doing this as you're listening to the song will start to relax you. Then relaxing your shoulders, moving your head around. That's the power of what music does. It's not only about us jumping around, you know, that's important as well. But it's important to do both aspects. The breathing in, we could be lying down in bed. We could be, as I have had to do with children running around, going to the bathroom, put a song on my phone.
And you had something where you put your hand on your tummy and you say something out loud. Do you want to just do that little exercise for us now?
Two things we can do. One thing is saying, hey, you, as if we're talking to someone, but they're really far away. And we're saying, hey, you, try it.
So try it high like that. Hey, you.
And now really low. Hey, you.
Hey, you.
Hey, you.
Hey, you.
Now, as you're doing that, you will feel a kick in your stomach. Now, again, it's understanding that our body is very linked into whether we speak, whether we sing, whether we cry, whether we laugh.
It's from deeper in your stomach, isn't it? It's
deep within us. Now, that's a very good thing to do because it wakes us up. And I deliberately use that phrase. It wakes us up in a healthy way whereby we have the power to do that.
Yes.
Another thing that you can do as well as shouting the hey you is saying your name. It's about believing in yourself. So I say to people sometimes, and I count to three, I say, let's both say our names at the same time. Let's try it now. I'm going to count to three.
I prefer your name, actually.
Because by saying our names, it's about believing in us. We're putting it into that. I'm going to, whether we want to call it, we're putting it into the atmosphere, or whether it is that we're believing in ourselves rather than waiting for someone to say our name and to say, you have achieved and you have done and well done. It could be for children. This could be for adults, grandparents. It's a very positive feeling. So I'm counting to three. One, two, three. Cece! You see?
No, in fact, I like the way you did some of the singing online, and I'm going to come on to that in a minute. A mini vocal session, how that can improve our stress. I know dancing helps as well, and I do that when I put the kettle on. That makes us laugh and changes our mood. But for our well-being right now, another one of your favourites is Whitney Houston, isn't it? Have you met her?
I never did. I wish I had met Whitney Houston and Liberace that I mentioned earlier.
Now, I know the line in your Whitney song that you like. Are you able to give us a bit of a boom with that? You might have to just bring the mic up a little bit.
Greatest love of all. Now, let me tell you something. You have to listen, look at the lyrics of that song.
They're really powerful, aren't they?
Very. It talks about the children. It talks about every aspect, age of life. The greatest love of all. Think of that.
That's so true. And the love for us.
The greatest love of all.
You've got a big voice. I want that voice. Can you teach me afterwards to do that voice?
Like I said, that is your whole body engaged. It's your soul. And I say to people, don't try to be a singer.
Yes.
Singers are naturally born, but every human being can sing along with a song.
Yes, that's so true. And we all want to. Did you have gospel training ever with the, because that's a massive
thing. I did.
Did you? Yeah, I think there's a difference with gospel singers' soul voices. Aren't they? They're just amazing.
A lot of that was, again, going back into history. I love history. And you have that in gospel, but you have that in certain aspects of rock music as well, because it was about inside that gut, whatever they say, this is the actress in me coming out, you can shape yourself in many different ways.
Yes.
And I want to encourage every woman that is listening right now, no matter how you feel, you have control of making the choice of what you believe in yourself.
That's so true, because a lot of people are suffering, you know, in lots of ways at the moment, aren't they? And our heart goes out to them. And I know you've partnered with a psychologist to help people really at home, carrying out vocal and breathing workshops for free online and tips, because of the huge personal challenges we're all facing, you know, immensely with work and family and loved ones. And you've got your own personal recovery story, haven't you? I can't believe that you had a massive medical setback. Do you want to just tell us about that?
Yes. I was in the States at the time, and it was 4 months after I had my daughter. I was always a workaholic. And when I had her, I went through a lot of change, because someone who was like a father to me, a man called Frank DeLeo, he was the manager for Michael Jackson, actually. And he was like a father to me, but he had died. So his wife and his children, there were certain things that it was very difficult for them to do. And because we worked very closely together, I got involved to help with the funeral, and there were lots of things, but he was Italian, so it takes a few days. Anyway, the point is, I went through a lot, I would say mentally, when I was heavily pregnant with my daughter. I had her, and I went straight back into work. 4 months later, I had a meeting, and I said to my sister, look, I have this meeting, I'm not feeling great, but I need to make this. So I went to the meeting, and I passed out, and it was a fully ruptured brain aneurysm. So basically, it's sort of like, I'm not describing it properly, but it's as if you have a mole in the head, and it got bigger, 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 and then it burst, blood everywhere. I was taken into hospital, and they said to my sister and to my mother, look, if she wakes up, she won't be able to walk or talk. And I was out of it for a while. And then when I did wake up, so to speak, they were correct. I could not walk and I could not talk. And it was a very, very dark place. I was in ICU. You know, my daughter obviously could not come to see me. She was only 4 months old. That would be too dangerous for her to come into ICU. And all that I had on my own in that room in hospital was music. Now, I was in a very dark place, but my sister, she knew the importance that I always spoke and taught about in terms of music. So she played all the different types of music that I love. Classical, she would also play gospel, all the different types of music, instrumental. And whilst I lay there listening to it, I felt down. But after every day hearing it, I started to think to myself, I want them to see that I can hear what they're saying. So eventually I was able to move just my middle finger, believe it or not. And the doctor said, let's have a look to see if she can do some of the breathing on her own. So they started to take some of the plugs out. And I mean, it was a lot. I had to, you know, I needed help with my breathing. Anyway, that got better. And then I would take one step and then I'd be tired. I need to sit back down in the wheelchair. Then I would have to try again and again. But music was my recovery. There were many other things, but music was a huge recovery. And I mean, after a period of time, I could walk and I could talk. And that is why now I'm very passionate. I love working with the well-known artists, presenters and actors, as well as corporate companies that I work with. But I'm also very, very passionate about speaking and encouraging people who they love music, but they're not singers. I want everyone to understand that music is a guide that can help us through hardship. It could help us through education for children at school. It can help teachers through the hardship that they have to go through when they're trying to teach, but maybe the parents or the teachers don't agree and they're like, but, you know, they get into an argument. It's for teachers to understand the wording and how they've got to maybe adapt things and to be appreciated in what they do. And lastly, hospitals. Look at what the nurses, the people who are driving the sick into the hospital and the ambulance. I mean, every aspect. And I think this is where music can be that constant guide.
Yes. Oh, definitely. And gosh, I'm so sorry you went through all that. But what a miracle you came out the other side. And in fact, lots of people can relate to that who are having breathing difficulties and suffering this awful virus and in hospital or even in comas. You know, music can still help heal them, can't they? So that's a massive message. And a lot of people will be grateful for that. I know you advocate musical therapy as a vital role in your own recovery, as you said, and it increases mental and physical stimulation. So we need to play it to people unwell. They use it in dementia wards as well and for calming children, don't they? And I know you've got your own music therapy initiative, The Power of Music to Inspire Young People, haven't you? And that's for them going through hard times.
Correct. I had quite a few singers who had done well on those music competition shows. I gathered them together and I said, I want you to go out to schools. I said, they would have seen you on TV and you are in closer age to them. That what do you mean? I said, I want you to go into the schools because you will perform, but then I want you directly to talk to them about different issues that they may have. One of them being children who felt that they were bullied at school, or other students who felt that they did bully, but they just don't know why they do it.
So you get both ends of the spectrum. I've seen that before in some of the music shows and probably some of the ones that you were on, that, you know, the person who had been bullied that then goes on that show and with the emotion and everyone looks up to them and is proud. And then actually, you know, what an example to other people through that, exactly. Which is really super.
Exactly. Or having to do things like, you know, exams at school, feeling quite nervous. And also to do with parents. People, you know, we are all parents who need to believe in yourself. It's not going, I haven't done this, what could I do different? It's we all grow with time. Is that what we talked about at the beginning of this conversation? It's about change. There's constant change. It's about us, and including myself, I am still learning about embracing change.
Well, we all are, aren't we? You know, even as adults, and we think it's hard enough for us as adults to adapt to this massive monumental change, but we keep having to remind ourselves that we're okay and we're lucky and we're fortunate and everything and bring ourselves back. But it's harder for the children, isn't it? You know, and we've both got children, you know, it is harder for them. And to explain that it'll be okay when we're battling with what is going on.
Exactly. And I mean, I would take it even so far as, you know, when you think of the government as well, the change that they will constantly be on, yeah, and having to learn how to communicate to all of us within the country. I bring it back. We really are a united kingdom. Yes. You know, I became much more aware of it because I lived and back and forth into Los Angeles and the States. But when I got severely ill and was in hospital, you've got to understand the first thing that is asked when you go into the hospital in the States, well, in Los Angeles anyway, is they need to ensure that you can afford to be in the hospital, yes, to be looked after. Yeah. And it really brought me back to in the UK. That NHS, wow.
Amazing.
Wow, wow, wow. They never stop people to say, have you got money to pay us for this? They just get on with the job. Like I said, with us as a United Kingdom, I know there's lots of things that we want to change in the country, different people, but the one thing, especially in this period of time that we're going through, is we really are and can be a United Kingdom that is united in a way that other countries don't naturally have.
Yes, true. And to daily briefings and everything, you know, it's very strong, isn't it, to help people. So your workshops cover rehabilitation through breathing and stretching and singing and the power of breath, and you've touched on that and our favourite songs. You've also talked about how playlists and upbeat songs can
be. It's very important to do that because it will also help us to become more knowledgeable in different types of music that we thought we never listened to. As I said, I love classical music, jazz, rock, pop, all types. And I say to people, never say that you would never listen to a certain genre of music. It may not be your favorite, but open yourself to it, because by doing that, it alerts us into a whole different realm. I mean, I love the fact that with my daughter, she's 8 years old, and at her school, they've been dealing and talking about Anglo-Saxon period of time. Now, I decided, I know a bit of this, but I'm going to do some research myself about music, about window of time. Yes. And it was interesting looking at the...
Come to Suffolk. There's a massive centre up the road.
Oh, wonderful, wonderful. But it was interesting doing my own research to do with music at that period of time, whereby with the Vikings, music was vital for them. But then we looked at the Anglo-Saxon music, absolutely vital for them as well. Some of these people were not just buried with the weapons, they were buried with instruments. Now, that is how important in that period of time. Mm-hmm.
And Elizabethans as well, they were massive on music, weren't they?
Exactly. And here we are in 2020, very much more evolved, much more developed.
Yes.
And I think it's important for us to marry ourselves together with different genres of music and just tuning in to how we can incorporate aspects in our lives and how we can communicate to others.
Definitely. And learning through music and exactly, de-stressing and uplifting ourselves at the same time. And there's a science, isn't there, behind it, in terms of it can increase performance, lift mood, relax us, soothe us, and it engages the whole brain, doesn't it? Is that what your psychologist partner says?
It really does. And I think that's why it's so important for more, I would say, researchers and for people to do as much more, as much as they can. And I mean, I am constantly wanting to find out more, and I will continue being a student of music for the rest of my life. And that's why I really want to stretch and really put it out there to everyone. Don't just listen to music, but really tune in. When you listen to it, listen to what those lyrics are saying. Yes. How does it apply in your life?
Definitely. I saw one of your YouTube tutorials, actually, where you were getting one of the girls to sing with emotion. And there is a massive difference when you watch these shows, when you can feel it because of the power of it, can't you? Their pain or their rawness. And it's a very different experience.
And not being afraid to show that vulnerability. Because yes. by showing that vulnerability to yourself, I'm not talking about to other people, but to yourself, you could be at home, like I said, in your bedroom, on your bed, or in the kitchen, wherever you are, but really tuning in to what certain songs are saying and what they make you feel, to know yourself much more.
Yes, interesting, as a whole brain activity. And that's what we all need right now, you know, that physical and mental emotion, psychology, making us feel better. I mean, I go, actually, I love swimming and I can't do that now and I feel so betrayed, but I go for a daily walk now in the park and I listen to music with headphones. And, you know, sometimes if no one's around, I have a bit of a sing out loud. Yeah, I feel really good, a bit mad, but... and hope no one sees me.
That's the beauty of it. If you think like, oh my gosh, that's a bit crazy, then it's good.
Oh really? Oh good, so it's working, but I come back happier. So maybe that's what it is. It's unless I've gone completely delirious. So families can stay connected with music as well, with their loved ones, with playlists, you were saying. Which strong men or women have inspired you? The lovely Diana Ross and Whitney.
Again, that's a very hard question. People for so many different reasons. I have a lot of respect for seeing what Oprah Winfrey has done. I think she has, you know, as a Black woman, ethnic minority, she has reached out, not just to the States, which is where she's from, but she's reached out worldwide. And she has raised questions in many areas that it makes you think sometimes, oh, actually, do I agree with this one that you're, oh, maybe, let me do my own research. That's interesting. So I have huge respect.
Definitely. And she's so philanthropic, isn't she? She gives so much money of hers to charity. Have you met her?
I haven't, and I wish I have. Maybe one day. A man that I hugely respect is the man who was like a father to me, because I never grew up with my father. It was this Italian in America who was the manager for Michael Jackson. His name was Frank DeLeo. Typical Italian. He was very much in the importance of family. And he saw what I did, and he saw my passion for achieving something as a woman in a business that was, you know, very male orientated. And none of his children wanted to be in the business. So I think part of him knew, because he always had a problem with his heart. So I think the fact that he took the time to sit down to explain aspects, not of the creative side, but in terms of the business side. And it really helped in terms of how my business was set up in the States. And the other hero, and I literally call her a hero, is my mother. You see, my mother, my sister and I were very, and are very, very different. And she loved us both, but she understood that what she would do for one would have to be slightly different for the other. So we went to different schools, because my sister, a wonderful reader, she would read every book, highly intelligent. Whereas for me, I liked history, I liked music, other subjects, not interested.
You know what you like.
Yes, but she didn't try to change me. Yeah. She embraced me as I was, and she constantly told me, she said, okay, if this is what you like, study it. Be a good inspiration to your friends as you grow up, and don't be afraid to talk about the things that you are afraid of. She really was my hero. So, I mean, I hope that I sort of rub off in the same way to my daughter. For me, it's really important to have these grounded truth. You know, what's most important in life? I think it's how we feel about ourselves, because that will transfer into every area of our life. Don't get me wrong. We all have our low moments, But in having those low moments, we will know how to then take another step.
That's so true. And actually, in today's environment, that's very relevant in terms of, you know, knowing ourselves and being comfortable with ourselves is the way to get that resilience to keep fighting back, isn't it? And in fact, teaching that in schools and everything is, would be greatly embraced as well. So can we talk about your passions then? But I just want to say first out about brands. If any empowering female brands or health and wellbeing companies would like to sponsor or advertise on our show, please contact me at nikki bannerman radio.co.uk or through Pineapple and support us on Patreon to get more finance for programming. So passions, how do you spend your time off singing and playing your lovely piano?
Not all the time, actually, because a lot of that is my work and yes, my self-being. But you know, I love to just walk and listen to the trees. I would say in some ways I might be obsessed with trees, you see. I love not listening to music, but just listening to what the trees are saying in many ways.
Well, the rustle of the leaves and the wind in the leaves, and that's what you mean.
I love nature. As much as I love being, you know, out into cities and active places like that, I also like being on my own. That sort of just getting to know yourself. So my hobbies, I would say right now, I've been learning how to cook, which is very good, because I really needed to learn how to cook at the same time. And I'd like to say that my cooking was quite surprisingly good.
Yes, I know, it improves, doesn't it? Mine's improved in lockdown as well. It's funny, isn't it?
There you are.
So it varies, but it's usually, when I talk to people about it, it's the opposite of what they expect. But I think it's because whilst I'm very active and I like to talk, I like the complete reverse, which is sitting in silence.
Yeah.
Because there's music in silence in itself.
Yes, and being very centered. Yes, you're obviously very grounded with your breathing.
Again, I want to say to everyone out there is you don't always have that. Sometimes I don't. So, but what I have learned, and this is what I want to encourage people, it's not about just being what we would call, oh, well, I do that, so it's always right, it's always good. It's not. It's when you're going through hardship, being aware of making more of a choice to sit down listening to music or listening to silence, because in silence there is music also, like I said, for me, through the trees. It's a sound. So I'd really encourage people to do that. It's not being afraid to getting to know ourselves.
Yes. And, you know, having ups and down days or being up and down in a day and actually knowing that setbacks are okay. I was even saying that to my daughter this morning, that actually setbacks are the things that teach you things in life. You know, it's a better lesson. It's a harder lesson. So what else are you passionate about? You're known for your voluntary work. You've been invited to 10 Downing Street on a number of occasions for your local charity.
I was so nervous on every occasion that I've been there. I've been there a few times, which is great, but nervous. And I've never been nervous in sort of when I walk into, like, whether it's Paramount Studios or, I mean, in those scenarios in the arts, in the creative field, I'm nervous.
You thought they'd ask you about politics. That was what it was.
It's like, oh my gosh, what am I going to say? What am I going to do?
It's funny because you've been on TV and been all over the world. It's funny. It's our comfort zone though, isn't it? It's politics. So you've got a book as well. If you can speak, you can sing. And that was a free book, was it? Or people can download that?
You can buy it, but specifically for state schools, I had it given to them because it was one book that was given to each of the schools so that the children had a way of reading it to understand that everyone has been through this.
Do you have a mantra for living your life then, a saying that you say to yourself?
Just what the book says. If you can speak, you can sing. Like I said, for me, I've always believed in this, but after what happened to me, where I had that near-death experience, I believe in it even more so. Because if I had listened to what and don't get me wrong, the doctors were incredible, but if I went solely by the fact that they said I would not be able to speak and I would not be able to, you know, do what for me were natural things to do, if I were to just believe in that and not try, because it didn't just turn around. It took time.
Of course.
But taking that step in saying cup. And then I started, you know, talking about people, but I would say the he for she, the she for he. I knew it was wrong, but my language had to be relearned again.
Amazing. And when was it? It was 2011, was it?
Correct. No, 2012. I had my daughter in September 2011, and it was in January of 2012 when that happened to me.
And all of this work and everything has come, so you wouldn't have been able to do anything that you do.
I could not. So I literally had to, and I did the exercises. Like I said, people would be talking to me. I could hear what they're saying, and I could only say, I couldn't say the word cup. I would be like, k-k-k. But then I thought, let me try again. I'm going to push that consonant and I will finish the rest of the word, which is why an exercise, technique exercise, that there are many different technique exercises out there, but there's a specific one that encourages people to sing using the consonant. And I always used these exercises.
Yes.
After this happened to me, I believed in it even more, because that way I was able to speak to the can.
And now coaching it to other people, you can say, I know exactly what you've been through, you know, and I know the struggle, because you really do. Isn't that brilliant? What's your next goal then, Cece?
My next goal, do you know what? It's an interesting question that you're asking, because in this moment I had another goal that I was looking at, but I think I might evolve it with what we've gone through in this window of time. And I was only talking to my partner about it earlier. I said to him, with everything that's happened, I think there's some different exercises in terms of my recovery for people that I'm working with that I want in hospitals.
Definitely, because there must be so many people with breathing difficulties and recovering, you know, including our Prime Minister, you know.
Exactly that. So for me, in terms of what I want to do, I think there is something in the area of the hospitals and within politics. But as to what that is exactly, I don't know.
Oh, well, there you go. Well, good luck with that. Yes, I mean, the whole NHS you talked about and politics you talked about and that whole new arena for you is obviously, yes, a bit of a calling.
Everything for me is linked to music, linked into creativity. And that's why I really want to, I always repeat myself, but I really want to repeat it and say it out to everyone who's listening to this. You have the choice for your life. And music is a guide. It's not about saying that you're a singer, that you are a dancer, that you're a musician, but every aspect of music and creativity is a guide that will help taking us further in life.
Definitely. Oh, thank you. Thank you so much for your time for that. So lastly, I mean, I think you've summed it up there, actually, in terms of lastly what you'd say to influence women and men, as men listen to our influential podcast as well, that one day it'll be over and it'll all be okay, and their emotional well-being and mental health hopefully will be back on track, because you're really helping. Thank you with that. So is there one other thing you'd just say? I mean, I think you've summed it up.
I'd say one more thing. Take a breath in through your nose and take that breath, breathe it out through your mouth. No matter how you're feeling, that you can control.
Thank you so much to you, Cece, for sharing your music and your life to help us see better times ahead and to bring our stress levels down and our endorphins and serotonin up in our brains so we can feel better and more positive. So stay safe, everybody, and to you and your family, Cece, and everyone listening. Please contact us with ideas for sponsors, guests, or feedback. This influential women's podcast is host presented and produced by Nikki Bannerman and co-founded with Juliet Nichols. This episode is produced and edited by Safran Mirza. Please subscribe for free. Keep listening for more podcast guests and 3 years of back catalogue on Apple Podcasts, Google, Spotify, and all your usual podcasting platforms. And if you love what we do, please share and tell others.